Coaches, welcome to the Locker Room Podcast. Danny St. Leger, Ryan Jones, join us again this evening, lads. Very welcome. Busy weekend of football. Just looking here, lads, at the result, probably the standard result of the weekend was Dublin 5-18 to 0-12 in Croke Park against Tyrone. Very, very slick performance. Daniel, we've talked about them on the show quite a bit. We've talked about their ability, their basic skills, just the level of conditioning, the coaching, everything. But even like Colin Pascal coming into the team late, you know, late change and end up with 2-3, 2-4 on Sunday, like it's an endless list of riches, isn't it, really, with them?
Yeah, they're looking really championship ready. Like we said last week, you could see teams kind of ramping up a small bit. And the biggest thing for all, and like Pascal is a really good point. You could see him ripping to get back in the team, like probably very aware that he's under pressure for a spot. Like last year's All-Star has to play well. You see Mannion come in slotting over a couple of points as well, you know. But the biggest thing for me, just from the coaching side of it, is like I think we could very clearly see why teams can't come out of defensive structure. I mean, you look at Tyrone went gung-ho and they just got ripped apart. Like, and you know, you kind of, I know a lot of people might complain about, well, why do teams have spent almost so much time defensively? Well, you can see why, because at the top end, the Dublins, the Derrys of this world will rip you asunder. And like, yeah. I think that's the biggest thing from this league for me, is at the really top end, you're seeing the coaching of forward play, I think, has gone to a different level. And I think Derry and Dublin are at the forefront of it. And I think probably down our, let's say, at the beginning of that phase, but you can see something similar. And for me, this whole league, from a coaching side of things, it's just showing that forward play has now been looked at probably as defensive play was looked at in 2011 and 12, you know, that sort of way, where teams are very clearly spending time in it. But yeah, Dublin were just awesome. Now, Tyrone were poor, but Dublin were awesome, you know.
And also as well, you know, I think, like, obviously I've talked about it, I feel like a broken record at this stage talking about the double kick pass, like, but so evident sitting behind the goals yesterday on the canal end and watching down the field, you know, creating that spine, creating that bunch. Very, very hard to defend again, but it's also very hard to defend, Daniel, when you have a foot race and a ball's kicked into space and you have Conn O'Callaghan in a foot race with you, or you have Kieran Kilkenny, just the physicality, the strength, the power. Like, I know it's early days, like, but they're a mile ahead of anybody that I've seen this year. A mile ahead, like.
Yeah, I think so. And like, it's a significant turnaround, because I up to maybe semi-final stage last year, I didn't think they were. I thought they were way off, to be honest with you. But like, I don't know if there's something. So has something changed coaching wise? I'm not so sure. But they look like they're a different team, and you know, like obviously Croke Park suits them down to the ground, like, but that's because they're physically stronger, quicker than the majority of teams they're going to be playing against. And it's it's a scary prospect, like, because do you know what, they look like they have a real hunger, and that's always a really good sign. Their stage last year where that didn't look to be the case, but like as you mentioned Pascal earlier on, like, he was ripping into that game, and that hunger is a dangerous thing for other teams. But it's an awful pity now it's going to be another maybe month and a half, 2 months before we see them even getting into that stride again. Obviously, league final, yes, but after that, it's going to be a grim couple of Leinster championship games for some Leinster counties, you know.
Yeah, it really is, Ryan. Like just watching them there, Ryan, on Sunday, you know, I said to Daniel, like there's so many superlatives you can use to describe them, like, but you know, for me, they're so far ahead. But surely, Ryan, maybe last year getting relegated to Division 2, having Division 2 as an opportunity maybe to blood, you know, maybe more fringe-based players, more squad players, you know, the likes of Daniel, for example, Lee Gannon, Ross McGarry, probably won their first All-Ireland, actually playing on a regular basis. And you're probably thinking, that's actually probably give them another step now, Ryan, another bit of confidence. Added in the extra hunger and spice that the likes of Kilkenny has, Conn just seems to have come back with a real bit between his teeth. And I just thought he was unplayable at times on Sunday as well. Albeit now Tyrone were poor, and this struck me as a team that sort of just wanted to get that game out of the way. You know, we're safe. Our cup final was last week against Monaghan, but the Dublin Ryan, you know, they really are on a different trajectory than everyone else.
Yeah, well, obviously you were down at it, Stephen. For me, the conditional level of Dublin is unbelievable. Like, yeah. Dan, I know Dan's involved there in Dublin club football, but there's guys coming into the Dublin squad that maybe you would think it would take them a year to actually get up to that level, because they're playing Division 1 football, and they just seem to be able to, you know, get into the rhythm so easy. So the conditional level in Dublin club football must be very good. Like the strength of conditioning, the way players look after themselves, they don't necessarily have to be involved in a county team for 2 to 3 years. The other way you would see some players, maybe it would take them that 2 to 3 year period of doing the right things before then they'd start developing into a proper inter-county footballer. The Dublin guys are, Jesus, the way they must look after themselves, even as a club player, must be miles ahead of any other county in Ireland, in my opinion. And then obviously you add in the skill set that they all have as well. And of course, the likes of Fenton, Kilkenny, Conn, these boys, regardless of who they're playing, they're pure winners. They do not want to lose any game at all. And like you did make the point that, okay, Tyrone maybe wanted to just get up, fulfill the fixture. But there's a lot of new players playing for Tyrone there that I'm sure want to put their hand up to try and, you know, stake a place for the championship. So Tyrone are a proud county as well. So I wouldn't read into that they were just fulfilling the fixture. I think Dublin are just so far ahead. And it's not necessarily their first team, it's their next 15 as well.
Yeah. I thought, I guess, very impressive. Even the flexibility in their play, at times Fenton would drift inside Daniel on Sunday, you know, and maybe play in there and hover around there for a bit. And just the flexibility and the ability of them just to be comfortable everywhere in the field. And listen, let's be under no illusions either, lads. There's times, and you could see it very clearly, particularly Daniel early in the game, like Dublin at 15 men behind the ball straight away, you know. You know, they were well organized. Obviously, it's not just 15 back zone, it's 15 back, and they are man to man, you know, and there is aggression and there is heat on the ball, but they still have those bodies back. You know, they still have those bodies back, and they still have that default defensive structure, Daniel, that is ultimately really difficult to play against as well. Like,
and they're very, the word I'd use for them defensively, when they get into that set, and they do get into that set, definitely, and I think that's not a negative for me. There's occasions when it's necessary, but they're proactive defensively. They're not reactive. So they're constantly looking for a turnover rather than waiting to see how they can defend.
Setting me traps, sending people down channels, looking for double ups, coming in behind. And actually, I noticed as well, too, when they turn the ball over, like, Ryan, you talked about the conditioning levels. It takes that level of conditioning. You know, it's easy on the eye because they break with so much pace and penetration and you know, and numbers as well. And it just looks better on the eye than a team, Ryan, you talked last week in the show about a team that comes out in a more sort of stagnant manner, slow-based possession. Dublin's quick, you know.
Yeah, well, they have that speed and power, Stephen. So, again, as you said, their transition, we might say that they want to play quick football, but they have the players to do that. And also, as you said, they have the ball winners inside so that if there is a kick pass on 35 yards, then boys are nearly always out in front, which then allows the runners to come hard off that, you know. It's only like the boys that are playing deep feel that the likes of Conn and these guys will definitely win the ball. So they're not afraid to make that hard run because there's a good chance then they'll come off the last pass and get an easy score for themselves. But they're relentless, really. And I suppose even you just think Desi Fowler, he's just standing back and the competition that he has probably makes his job very easy as well.
Yeah, I was going to say that, Daniel. I remember, Daniel, I think it was around about 2016, I was doing a coaching camp, Easter coaching camp in Skerries, and Lindsay Davey and Johnny Cooper were also there. And I was chatting to Cooper and, you know, he sort of said something like, you know, people think we're training in the best facilities, the best pitches, the best. And he says, we're actually not. He says, what actually drives us, Ryan, is interesting you said. He says, if I'm not performing, he says, I know that number 17 to number 30 is chomping to get into my jersey, you know. And I think that, Daniel, has a massive impact on a group as well when you have that competition, doesn't it, surely? Like,
oh, 100%. And like Ryan spoke earlier about the players coming in ready formed. Like, I mean, you've got 16 Division 1 clubs in Dublin. Like, so even, let's say, if you're not involved in an inter-county squad, if from under 14s up, if you're a late developer, I can guarantee every Division 1 club in Dublin starts to rest and see at the same time county teams do, because their first league game aligns itself with the first league game of the county, and you have 15 league games to be ready for. So you have 16 squads of 30 all that have a base level of S&C. Like, so they have in-house games. A couple of our lads are going into in-house games every second or third day, so they're probably seeing a massive breadth of players, and if there's they're all conditioned, they're all strong, they're all quick. And then if they can align that with a little bit of football, you know, like you were saying, I mean, the depth is insane. Like, you know, and they're just, it reminds me of the Leinster rugby kind of system with the school system in Leinster, that they're fully formed players are coming into Leinster academies and stuff like that because of the Blackrock and the St. Michael's, and all these lads have academies in their in their schools. You know, it's the exact same way. Like, it's scary. Like, you know, they said it was a golden era, and I thought maybe at stages last year and the year before, that once Clucks and James McCarthy, these lads started to wean off, that was it for a while. But no, it's a Then the prospect for everyone else.
Ryan, I certainly feel, Ryan, that the kick pass, I've talked about it before, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but you know, their ability to kick the ball efficiently and effectively in Croke Park, you have to be able to do that to win an All-Ireland. Like, you know, there's no point in beating about the bush. You have to be able to kick the ball effectively, and they have that in abundance. Like.
Yeah, they've lovely kick passers, Stephen, and it always feels like it's not a forced kick pass.
Correct.
It's a 35 kick pass, nearly one bounce into a forwards, you know, just into his space more so. And yeah, it always looks easy. And then the forwards receiving it probably, you know, where he can get his hands out quick to release them to a runner. And you're 100% right. Once you get to Croke Park, I feel you need the kicking game. Probably since Donegal won that at Ireland, even in 2012, you know, every team now since that has had a kicking game. And even then, don't remember, you know, if you remember, Donegal had a kicking game as well. They put it in long to Murphy early on, put it into McFadden, got them the goals against Mayo. So I suppose it'll be interesting to see coming into the league finals this Saturday. Like, Down are a phenomenal running team. Like, the pace and the power that they have is counter-attacking. And I watched bits of their games against Clare at the weekend. I felt last year, once they played against Meath and Croke Park, they struggled because Meath were able to nearly match the running power. So it'll be interesting to see if they're able to develop that further once they get up to Croke Park on Saturday night, you know, to see, is the kicking game an option for them as well?
Yeah, and we'll chat about Down later in the show, but I suppose that they are the champions, Daniel, and I suppose Saturday night is the contenders. You know, like Derry are obviously the one team that I feel at the present moment in time probably can, and look, Kerry as well, obviously, you know, on any given day, but I do feel Derry now have joined the top table edge, and I think Ryan talked about the physical conditioning. This is something that I think Derry made big gains in during lockdown. You know, at the time, it was probably well publicised. Obviously, you know, they weren't meant to be doing it, but it was obviously well documented that Derry were training very hard 3-4 days a week with Gallagher. And that obviously got them a large step ahead, Daniel, of a lot of counties in Ulster from a conditioning perspective. You know, when I know Kieran Mina from chatting to Kieran, you know, they did place an enormous amount of emphasis on hard running and training. Like, and you can see that in that Derry team, but also Daniel as well. They're brilliant footballers.
Yeah, it's definitely a combination of, as you say, that conditioning. That there's no doubt again, but absolutely flying. But Ryan, you spoke about like stupid running before from turnovers a couple of podcasts ago, and I think this current Derry team, everything they're doing is efficient, and that the efficiency of how they defend, the efficiency of how they attack. There is no stupid running for the sake of it, like, you know, so that they're able to conserve energy for power plays, almost for want of a better word. Like, we're talking about teams kind of even Dublin being on that 15, 14 inside the 45. You can imagine a training drill in Dublin where Dublin have to defend with 14 on 15 for maybe a minute, maybe a minute and a half. And on the whistle, everyone has to be up inside the far side of the field before score can happen or something like that. I'm trying to recreate a drill in my head. But if you get into that mindset of efficiency, when you're actually on the ball, rather, like I was looking at Kildare on Saturday, and I was just thinking they do so much chasing their tail and so much inefficient defending.
Yeah,
they have no energy then to go forward. Whereas you're looking at the Dublins, the Derrys, they are so efficient at what they do. They are preserving energy for that moment where they smell turnover, and then it's like they hear the whistle going and it's take off. And Down, in fairness, Down did something similar to Clare at the weekend as well. But it's I think probably, as I said to you at the top of the show, like that, I think Dublin and Derry have taken a step ahead of the rest because of how they have developed their attack and play. And I know some people might say, like, you don't want to overcoach attack and play, but we can see the two teams that are very clearly practicing patterns of forward play are Dublin and Derry for me. I think Kerry still rely on individually really good forwards, and they do, and that'll get them a long way. But I think it's so clear to see Dublin and Derry that what they know what they're doing and they know how they want to do it. And I think that efficiency makes it very clear for players in their heads, you know.
And Ryan, just looking here again, like 219 at the weekend from Derry, 12 goals scored this year, 138 points scored, 38 point plus score difference, you know, 6 wins from 7 in the National League. The only game the loss was Dublin, and they rested Conor Glass, Ethan Doherty that night as well. You could possibly say, you know, this Saturday will be interesting. Like, and I do feel that people are sort of, you know, playing down the league finals a little bit. Like, Mickey Hart will certainly not play this down, Ryan, on Saturday night. Sunday.
I don't think so. And I think Dublin will also not want Derry coming up and
getting
a victory over them. As I said to you earlier, there, them Dublin boys, Kilkenny and Fenton and these guys, they're born winners. They'll want to put their stamp on it and say, hold on, boys, you aren't at our level just yet. So I think out of all the league finals, you know, I know it's the Division 1, but I think it's you know, we're looking at Division Two, saying, will Donegal and Armagh go full tilt? I'm convinced that the Division One final will be hell for leather. 2-19, as you mentioned, it's their ability, Stephen, to get scores all over the pitch. I think the 10 different scores again at the weekend. And we talked about Derry's conditioning. You mentioned about, or we talked about Dublin's super conditioning, but Derry are at that level as well. And in fairness, they've kept the squad together. The secret is that you don't have boys dropping in and out. Derry have had the same squad now for the last number of years, 3 to 4 years. They've been doing all the right things. They've added in a couple of the under-20s, the minors that maybe have competed in All-Irelands. Lachlan Murray now all of a sudden is properly, you know, starting to find his form. So Derry have the squad, and I suppose the first massive test is this weekend in the league final.
Yeah, yeah, no, definitely. And listen, you know, to be honest with you, Ledge, I've been really, really impressed with them. And I thought, like, you see Derry as well, like, obviously, we see it was very documented, Ryan, what Mina and Rory Gallagher brought to the table. But I was sort of curious, Daniel, to see if what Mickey would bring differently, but there hasn't really been an awful lot of difference to what they're doing. You know, as you say, maybe just a bit more efficiency, you know, real, real high level of efficiency. And probably, Daniel, to be fair to Mickey, he probably has blooded three or four other players as well, you know, that Ryan has mentioned there that maybe Rory hadn't and Kieran, you know.
Yeah, and I think sometimes the role of manager, like obviously Gallagher, I mean, a lot of the groundwork done, but sometimes a manager, when you have a good setup and good players, if you just don't piss them off, there's an awful lot of it. And sometimes try if you come in and maybe ego gets in the way as a manager and you're saying, well, this is my way of doing things. I'm going to change things because I'm not Rory Gallagher. That can sometimes be like players are like, well, it's not about being anyone. It's about what works for us. And very clearly, Derry were on the path of what was working. I think the blooding players is definitely, that's the biggest difference I can see. I noticed, I think it was a Conor McCluskey made a comment at the weekend about Horst Devlin saying to him, you know, he needs to get his scoring rate up like for a cornerback, you know, so maybe even that little evolution. Yeah. It could just be mindset. Like, there mightn't even be anything technically different on the field, as we probably all know. Listen, lads, we all do. I'd say we've all done the same drills in the same ways, the same, like a lot of the time. So maybe it's just a mindset, how players are spoken to, how they address certain things. And like Derry, probably I'd say have been maybe not as watertight defensively as they have been possibly, but I think their attacking play looks really fluid at the moment. But that could have been an evolution that was coming anyway with players 3 and 4 years down the road. So it's very hard to know. But I think that sometimes leaving well enough alone is a good approach from management when they know what they have under the bonnet, you know?
It was nearly like Mickey Hart just used his experience to say, I don't need to change much, but there was probably a blank slate for a few players. Like Lachlan Murray didn't really get a chance under Rory Gallagher. For whatever reason, Rory obviously didn't fancy him. Kieran McFaul obviously walked away. So I suppose them players were probably coming in with, you know, a bit of energy. They knew that this new management all of a sudden it's a clean slate. And it was kind of these boys now, like McFaul's playing brilliant football. Lachlan Murray, as I mentioned, scored 1-4, 1-5 the weekend. It's like all of a sudden now they feel this is my opportunity that if I'm impressing and training, Mickey will give me a chance that probably they weren't getting under Rory.
Yeah, I think by all accounts, Devlin, the reports are about Horse, you know, the energy levels he brings to training and the intensity. Chatting a couple of the lads were very, very impressed with him last year, you know. Just speaking of Louth, obviously a big win at the weekend for them against Kildare. I know, Daniel, we're like a broken record here. I know you picked up on something defensively, like, and it is okay, Daniel, we can poke fun at Kildare a little bit, you know, and they have become a figure of fun probably, you know, which is unfair probably on the likes of Glenn Ryan and stuff and these guys that I think Colin O'Rourke touched on it, you know, that they were real, real good servants to Kildare football, like, you know, and maybe just feel a wee taz let down, but there has to be, Daniel, accountability as well. Like some of the defensive display on some of the defensive football on Saturday night was just null and void. You picked up on one or two things, didn't you, from a defensive point of view?
I watched the game and I was curious to see the game because...
Yeah, I watched it myself, yeah.
It's, you know, like, I thought maybe it would have been very easy for like Kildare lads knowing they were down to kind of throw in the towel. But what was actually more demoralising for me from a Kildare point of view was that they actually tried really hard. Like, they made a very genuine effort to work hard and try to do the right things. But there was two clips that came up and actually the GA retweeted the two of them. They're on the Twitter page, you can see it. Like, but there was the first score that Jackson got, I think, from play. Yep. And it was just so interesting I just paused the clip and had a look at Kildare's defensive shape. And you had a cornerback marking on one sideline, facing his man, facing away from the ball, corner, loud corner forward, standing on the corner flag, doing nothing. You had the other cornerback marking the other corner flag, standing in his face, doing nothing. You had a midfielder in front of the play with the ball behind him, standing, pushing another loud midfielder in the chest. You had Owen Doyle as a plus one in kind of in a good enough spot, but he had to come forward and engage a loud runner because there was no, everyone was man to man, as we call it. And then there was like this horseshoe space in front of the Kildare full back line that all it took was a little backdoor cut, a 30-yard pop pass into space, one offload and a point. And it just kind of, it was like a microcosm of Kildare for me in general, that there was loads of effort. Everyone was trying to do the right thing. They were getting up on a man, they're getting hands up, but there was no actual thought behind, well, what are we trying to do? Which is to prevent scores. Louder playing against the wind. I mean,
that's right, yeah.
It just seemed really like there was a lack of understanding about what they were trying to do. And even when they were playing against the wind in the second half on their kickouts, like it looked like they'd never played against the wind for a kickout before. It was literally lump ball as far and as high as you can down the middle of the field and just hope our big tall players catch the ball. Like that's not inter-county coaching. Like, do you know what I mean? There was nothing. They didn't try to do anything. Like, Loud had a really high press. They never looked to overload a side. They never even looked for a bunch of break to one side. They never really looked like they were getting into pockets. And last week we talked about the development of the play. Like, how often did they get a short kick out of the way, just about, get it back to the keeper, and then they got turned over because there was nowhere to go? There was no thought about what is the next phase after this. And that must be demoralizing, because you can genuinely see a good effort for them. And the fact that we're only 3 points in it in the end is down to the fact that they've got really big, strong athletes who are definitely talented footballers there, but there's such a disconnect between what they're trying to do. Like, it must be horrendous.
It's the GAA's biggest mystery, Ryan, I suppose, Kildare football at the minute. Like, certainly, Ryan, you know, there has to be an element of kind of belief on the coaching field. Like, you look at even the way they played with a gale force win in the first half in Netwatch. They didn't press any kickouts. You know, they didn't press until a couple of minutes before. Like, that's nearly unforgivable, isn't it? Like,
yeah, well, I was at the Fermanagh Cavan game, so I didn't see it. But what Dan's saying there about cornerbacks standing, looking into the face of a corner forward when the ball's gone, like, that to me, boys, that the management has to take, you know, accountability for that. Like, we all know when the ball's on one side of the pitch, you tuck across, it's called a smart man to man. I understand Kildare, maybe the tactics where we're going to go out and front up here and go man to man with Louth, but you know, you have to be smart about it as well. They dropped off kickouts when they had the breeze, you said.
Yeah,
you're never going to win a game playing that way. So I'm just wondering, does the players not ask the Kildare management, hold on wee second, I don't agree with this? Because there's a lot of Kildare players there are very experienced, and you know, they've been at top level even with their club. I'm thinking of Owen Doyle there and Nace. So it's very strange.
Ryan, would you not say, like, just to get both your views on this, right? Dropping off kickouts, fine. I don't mind dropping off the kickout, but if you're gonna drop off a kickout, like, at least have some form of defensive organization then behind that. If you're dropping off, you're dropping off a kickout, a number of things, obviously, right? Get a foothold in the game. You know, you're maybe setting a trap for a cornerback. You know, you're maybe just sort of feeding at the opposition. You don't want to go aggressive too early and maybe get caught with a kicker over the top or something like that, you know. But if you're dropping off a kicker, like, there has to be then, Daniel, a plan, you know, to back that up then. You're either going with an organised defensive system, you're flooding the middle third, you're going to send the team down a certain channel. You know, there didn't seem to be any of that.
No. I think that's the ultimate thing with Kildare. They're doing stuff, but they're not actually, there doesn't seem to be an actual purpose to what they're doing. Like, you know, as you say, if you're, like, even just from a logistical point of view, I'm looking at the Kildare team, and like, in 2018, we mentioned this. We mentioned that, like, if we pushed up on Kildare, they went long. They have 6'4", 6'5" monsters around the middle of the field that we couldn't afford to. Like, could you imagine, like Loud's press in the second half, I thought, was brilliant. Now, Loud was, a smaller team, but they went with four or three banks of four, and they were aggressive, they were active in between the lines, a very clearly coached team. Like, whereas you couldn't say that about Kildare, and Kildare probably had better assets to press the kick out. So that all just points in one direction for me. And, like, I'm only assuming, like, I don't know, unless players are taking it on themselves on the field to do whatever they want, I don't know. But something looks really disconnected between what's happening on the field or what's happening in the coaching field or what's meant to happen. I don't know. But it's you know, it must be really demoralizing. So I think there's massive gain. If you get that Kildare team all pointing in one direction, all the one direction, knowing what they're doing offensively, knowing what they're doing defensively, like, they're a serious outfit. Like, they have really good footballers. And you mentioned Ace. Like, Nace don't set up stupidly. Nace are a really well organized team. So like, where's the? I don't know. I'm not sure.
What I can understand is like there's seven league games in, and some of the stuff that you were telling me went on at the weekend. Like, you, if a minor team was doing it, you'd be saying, have these boys never been coached before? Have they not seen this at underage? They've competed in All-Ireland under 20s. Nace is they're a top team, let's face it. They're within a shout of winning Leinster titles. So for Kildare to be at this crack, seven league games in, Jesus, boys, yeah. I don't know what's going on.
But Ryan, seven defeats in a row. It's the second time they've done this in a number of years now. They lost seven in a row in Division 1 as well. They've lost seven in a row in Division 2. They're in Division 3. And, like, you know, really and truly, there is no guarantees that you get out of three. You know, there's no guarantees now, albeit I think three is a very, very poor level this year. I think down with a standout team by a good bit. I think even Westmeath proved it the weekend, you know, obviously without Heslin, they're quite ordinary. Like, but the Division 2 final on Sunday, leading into the Dublin Derry game, obviously Armagh and Donegal, two teams probably that are very well coached. And will continue to make progress as the summer goes on. But certainly Sunday, is this a sort of a signature game, Daniel, for McGuinness? Do you think he'd want to put a marker down and say, look, you know, silverware, psychological blow over McGeaney? What do you think?
Yeah, I'm actually not so sure, to be honest with you. Like, I know McHugh and
McBurney's going to struggle. Yeah, he's going to be a big loss. Big loss.
I'm not sure about that. Like, you know, I don't know. I agree that Dublin Derry, I think, will be full throttle. Dublin need a really good test because, as I said, there's nothing coming in Leinster. And I think Mickey Hart's nature is to want to win any game, and I don't think it's any coincidence he left a lot of his lads on the sideline for the group game with Dublin, you know. So I think that will be a really good contest. I'm not so sure about Armagh Donegal. I don't know. And interestingly, I actually think it's bigger for McGeaney than McGuinness to get a notch in the belt here, to be honest. And I'm not sure how much benefit it'll be to either of them, because with the attrition rate in Ulster, like, it's hard to know. But I could see a little bit of shadow box in this one.
What's your thoughts, Ryan?
Well, I know Donegal have picked up a few injuries. McGuinness is, you know, he's mentioned that a few times. I'm not too sure what approach they'll take. I wouldn't be surprised if they kind of just mix their team up. As for Armagh, I suppose they had the non-event really against Cork. They're out in 2 weeks' time against Fermanagh. I think McGeaney will probably want to get a settled team as well. You know, he's changed his team around a lot throughout the league. And it's a bit of silverware for them Armagh boys.
I think it's huge, I think it's huge,
As much as they have developed this last number of years, they haven't actually picked up any silverware, albeit Division 2 titles. So I think McGeaney, a game out in Croke Park, go and win it. That'll be his approach. Yeah. And I'm not too sure what way Donegal will be. So for Armagh for me on that one.
Yeah, well, you've a league title, lads, a provincial title and an All-Ireland, you know, and realistically an All-Ireland is probably, you know, beyond maybe both those teams at the minute, you know, possibly a final. Possibly, you know, depending on the draw stuff. But I do feel Dublin are still a good bit ahead of both those teams. I think Derry are as well. Like, but it'll be an interesting game. You know, Armagh will be disappointed conceding 2-16. They went quite strong on Saturday night as well against Cork. But Cork finished the National League quite well. And again, you know, another team who probably are a little bit of a mystery, you know, when it comes to looking at the size of the county and the athleticism and the pace and the power they have. But moving in Division 3, lads, they're down, obviously had a huge win at the weekend. Ryan, you've been very impressive down this year, haven't you, with the pace and the power, and obviously, you know, decent enough foundations laid last year. Lavery gave the whole thing a bounce, but I think the addition of Kieran Meenan this year has been well documented, the progression and the coaching as well.
Yeah, I watched some of their game against Clare there, and as you mentioned, their pace is unbelievable. Like, their pace is, in my opinion, I know it is a Division 3 game, but it's up there at the top teams. Meenan, no doubt, would have brought an extra dimension to them. And they're very good at running ahead of the ball, creating goal opportunities. And probably that was something that Derry were very good at once Meenan was there as well. So they scored 3 goals the weekend. They squeezed heavily on the Clare kick out, and they got joy from that. But the only thing, they've seemed to play Havern up front by himself. And I'm just not too sure, once they get to Croke Park, if Down have the kicking game as well to mix with their running power. That'll be my only thing. They're going to probably play Armagh, let's face it, in an Ulster semi-final. So last year, Armagh were still far, far too good for them. So it'll be interesting to see. They want to get a win this Saturday night. You know, they're coming up against Westmeath, get a title under their belts, build the confidence going into the championship. And be interesting to see. Now, there is definitely a bounce. There was a massive crowd at that game on Sunday as well. So Down's in a very good place. And like, bringing Meenan in has definitely brought them up a few notches.
The pace, Daniel, is certainly something that you would nearly feel would be suited to Croke Park. And I know last year, probably the worst thing that happened to them was scoring 8 goals in the semi-final against Leash that time in the Talisman, because I think it actually nearly forced Colin O'Rourke's hand to actually play, you know, quite deep in the final. And I think Down's biggest issue then, Ledge, was actually winning primary ball from kickouts as well. When a team pressed them to go long, you know, they just didn't really have that physicality around the middle. They've Johnny Flynn and Owen Murdoch, obviously, this year, who are competing well and have seemed to have struck up a decent midfield partnership. Dan Guinness sort of played a floating role yesterday and was quite good and effective as that as well. He's got himself in good shape. I think Dan's biggest issue has been his fitness over the last number of years. Now that he's got himself fit, he's a serious asset for them. But do you see, Daniel, Croke Park obviously suiting this Down team?
Yeah, like, logically it should, you know, but as you said, like, Meade really took them apart, but like, they gave them serious problems by not giving them spaces to run ahead of, you know. And, yeah. And in fairness, the weekend, like, what was it, 1-8 to 1-5, 10 minutes into the second half, like, it wasn't free flowing. And in fairness to Down, though, they did pick their moments. Like, we talked about, when is their time to really go after Clare beyond kickouts? And I think for the penalty, they won kickouts before that, and then the next kickout they won. And the game was over then. It was 2-8, 2-9, 2-1-5. It was job done at that stage. But it did take 40, 45 minutes of patience to break that Clare team down. And look, I'd say Down want to banish some of the memories last year. And the kind of, I think they need a performance there as well. I kind of agree with Ryan that I still think you need some secondary outlet in Croke Park. You can't just have a full forward on his own on the 21 and everyone else inside the 45. It just ultimately doesn't work. It's probably good enough for them to beat a lot of teams, but when you get to the tight end of the year, like, you're talking about trying to, like, and again, they'll be fine in Ulster because a lot of pitches in Ulster are really tight. They're actually conducive to playing. A lot of pitches in the country are conducive to playing a kind of a turnover counter-attack game. But when you get to Croke Park, it is different. Even if it's just a metre wider, the whole way around, like, it makes a huge difference. And I think it'll be important for Down to kind of banish last year's memories a little bit. So I'd say they'll be going fairly all out for performance this weekend. And I think patience is the key for them.
And Ryan, interesting, I'd love to hear your view on this. Like how important, obviously, it might sound like a silly question, like, but like Down, if Down were to stay, for example, in the Talisman Cup, the likelihood is they would probably win it this year. Right? They would probably win it. Like, but going into the Sam Maguire, that's massive for progression as well, to come up against, you know, three really, really good teams in the group stages. Surely that would be a massive, massive progression for the group as well.
Yeah, I would say Down Laverty would want to be in the Sam Maguire. He would still prefer that if someone offered him the option of winning the Talisman Cup. I think they'll want to win, obviously, the Division 3 League Final to get a bit of silverware, but Down players would see themselves as, you know, in the Sam Maguire. That would be the level that they would feel that they're at. The one thing I would say, Stephen, as well, I went to the Down game last year against Armagh in Clonus. Now, it was a horrible day.
Yeah.
But Down, with all their pace and all their power and their angles of running and counter-attacking, they just couldn't, to be honest, get the ball over the bar outside 30 yards. You know, there's a lot of players that are transition players that play in the forward line. You think of Ryan Johnson, you think of Guinness, Gillam Doherty. All these boys here are phenomenal runners.
Very similar players, aren't they?
Very similar. But if you compare that to, let's say, Derry, they've got forwards who can bang the ball over the bar 35 yards, engineer their own scores. So that was a big letdown for them last year in the Ulster. Once they came up against Armagh, they were very reliant on Pat Havern, and he actually had an off day. So I think they'll be fine in Division 3, and if they're in the Talisman Cup, they will rip teams apart, of course. But if they want to get to the next level of really competing, you know, in Division 2 against All-Ireland contenders and stuff, I think they're still lacking a wee bit in the front line.
Nearly like I know every team would love a Shane McGuigan ledge, like, but they probably do lack that real out and out marquee forward down, don't they? Like, you know,
I think they lack a small bit of personality, not personality, but a bit of presence. Do you know what I mean? I, as you said, I think they're all very similar sort of players. Where is the Conor Glass, the big personality that when the shit hits the fan, the leader on field?
Yeah.
Like, again, this is just an outside observation. Like that could be, I could be way off. There could be lots of really good leaders within that. But just from my point of view, I just think they don't have that big personality that when the shit hits the fan, who's going to really take the thing by the scruff of the neck? Like I'm not sure they have that yet. I would also say they probably are missing a little bit of man size, we'll call it that way. There's definitely a lot of gym strong players and all the rest of it there. But as you mentioned about Armagh last year, when the shit in the rain in that championship game, like do they have the size to break down these big teams? I'm not sure they have that yet. But what I will say about Down is I think they're on the path to that. I said at the start of the show, I think Down are probably where Derry were just post-COVID, where they're on the start or their transition start of the process. I think 3 or 4 years, we'll see Down really getting onto another level. Not quite there yet, though, I don't think. And the kick-out thing comes back to the physicality. I think that'll be an issue. But you look at the likes of Murdoch when he gets a couple more years under his belt.
Yeah.
He's going to be that leader, I think, if he goes on the same trajectory. But still a kid, like, you know.
Looking forward to seeing, you know, the Armagh game that they will beat Antrim. I've no doubt about it. And obviously not being dismissive of Fermanagh, but you would say that it's going to be down Armagh semi-final. And then obviously if they're in the SAM, it'll be very interesting to see, you know, how they do against those higher ranked teams. In Division 4, Ryan, you're sporting your Leitrim top tonight, I think. Is that a Leitrim?
Yeah, that's it there, boys.
That's the you just needed to be careful there tonight. The bandwagon didn't knock you down as you were coming. Listen, fair play. Listen, I'm sure there was great buzz about the place, Ryan, and stuff last night. I'm sure. I think it was a big one for Andy because I think it's year three, Ryan. Is it year three?
Yeah, year three.
Year three. So, you know, no promotion probably, you know, it was huge that he got out of four. And four became very, very tight this year, I'd say, to Laois.
It was, and to be honest, it was going down to the last day and it actually wasn't even in Leitrim's hands. Longford were in pole position. If they went down and beat Wexford, they were going to get promoted. So it was a tricky one for Leitrim. They had to, I suppose, make sure that they'd done their side of the thing. They were playing against Tipperary and Leitrim, they controlled the game, to be honest, from start to finish. I suppose last year, losing to New York was devastating, like, you know, coming with spade to spade. So you would have to give a lot of credit to the way the Leitrim lads bounced back from that. You know, would it be easy to probably just say, oh, that's enough, I'm out of here. But in fairness, they stuck at it. They're getting reward now. They're 3 years in probably to a project where they've been doing the right things, the conditioning, the gym work. Ryan O'Rourke was a massive plus for them this year.
Good footballer.
He's a very good footballer and really good attitude and looks after himself really well. He definitely was a fine for them this year because they didn't have him last year. He was injured. And I suppose Keith Byrne not being around as well. In one way, you would have thought Leitrim will never get promoted without Keith Byrne because he racks up 10, 11 points in the game.
Yeah.
But in another way, it nearly brought the likes of Ryan O'Rourke and Dara Rooney, who plays club football in Dublin. It put more emphasis on them boys to deliver. And I felt Leitrim as a forward line were nearly more potent as a result of probably not everything going through Keith Byrne this year. So really, really good performance from them at the weekend. And look, I don't think Leitrim have ever got a victory in Croke Park. So they are out the following week against Sligo. But I think they'll go full tilt to beat Laois this Saturday night.
Yeah, absolutely. And you have to. Like, Laois back in Division 4, obviously they're out of it now. They're back in 3 again. Probably a county again that have probably underachieved over the last couple of years. I think since Sugar left, they've sort of hit a bit of a trajectory going the opposite way, haven't they?
Yeah, and as we were kind of talking about, like, the turnover of players, like, they've had massive turnover of players, which doesn't help, you know.
Well, that's led something, obviously, before it goes out of my head. Like, that's a common theme now. Like, we're looking at, right, so I'm just thinking, like, the Clare team that was named on Sunday, for example, that played down, 12 lads missing from last year, you know, no Keelan Sexton, you know, there was so much quality missing. The Tipperary team, unrecognisable, Ryan, you said. Billy Lee was telling me the Limerick team had 16 players from last year not available, you know. And you're thinking to yourself, Ledge, it seems to be a common theme right throughout the country, you know.
Like, if you take 10 players out of the Dublin team that won the All-Ireland last year, they're not staying in Division 1, probably. They're probably not, like, they're not winning All-Ireland. Like, so, I mean, that would hit the best resource, the best conditioned teams, that would hit them hard. But when you come down to levels again, like, you're scraping the bottom of the barrel and like, back to Laois, like, their club football scene isn't hectic at the moment either. So, like, it's the Division 4 final is a massive one because, as you said, like, Leitrim are out against Sligo, but look, it's largely irrelevant. It's kind of title for either of them, kind of the goal. I mean, the goal should be going fucking balls out to win them a Division 4 title. Like, and it's, like, I know there's a bit of chat about scrapping the league finals and everything, and maybe for Division 1 teams, not to be all and end all, but for a Division 4 team, like, we know ourselves, geez, you'd take your left hand off for it. And even though you're promoted, it doesn't feel like that when you're playing in them. Like, it feels like this is an actual final, you know. And I think it'll be a good game. Like, sometimes when teams play, when teams are promoted and it's still a final, but that little small bit of pressure is off, you know, and you can kind of a little bit more expression. And interesting about Keith Byrne, like, we were kind of talking about how sometimes over-reliance on some players is not necessarily a good thing for overall fluidity. Like, you know, we're talking about the Cliffords and the Cons and these things, but it's, look, I'd say probably Andy's relieved because I'd say if this year they didn't go up, I'd say that could have been a stint done. I saw somewhere on Twitter that someone who was at Longford turned him down, said he wasn't mature and it wasn't a big enough name, was it, or something like that? And
Longford did.
Oh, I'm not sure. I was looking at it today, so maybe there's a bit of spice going on there on the border. But it's a great time to get out of Division Four. Like, you'll never know elation like it. You know what I mean? It's there's nothing like it. You know, there really isn't.
Yeah, I think the biggest learning from just watching teams and how they're evolving is keeping the group together. Like, I was at the Fermanagh Cavan game on Saturday night, and same thing. Cavan, like, they have loads of players, but a lot of new names, and they're neighbours of ours, and we play them all the time. There was about six or seven players for Cavan that I had never, you know, would never come up against or recognised before, and they're probably a bit like that at the moment as well. You don't know what you're going to get from them. So ideally, if you can get into a setup or a county setup where you know you're going to get 3 years, like Andy there in his third year has delivered the promotion. Players are willing to, you can get a group that'll stick together. I would have chatted to Mickey Graham, obviously, who's involved with Leitrim this year, and he would have said when he came into Cavan, his big focus was, right, lads, there's no yo-yoing. There's no, I'm in for a year, I'm out. We're getting a group together here. We're going to all get the, you know, involved in the strength and conditioning, buy in, and then in this third year, I think they delivered an Ulster title, albeit it was COVID, but still, that was his focus, was just getting a group together that will stick at it for 3 years. And to be honest with you, even when Rory Gallagher took us, it was 2 years of complete buy-in. I think there was no player apart from maybe Shamie Quigley that dropped off, you know. So I think that's the secret. If you're getting players coming and going, realistically, you're probably not going to achieve that much.
Yeah, and Lids, that was probably the same case for yourselves and Carl. There was a good buy-in for a couple of seasons, like, you know. There was a good group of players stayed together, you know. And I think that, like, obviously for Division 4, you know, we're always talking about one and Division 1 and Division 2 and, you know, Sam Maguire. But, like, for the likes of those Leitrim lads, as Ryan said, like, it'll be a great week, like, you know, a great buzz coming up to Croker. And I don't know, Croker will be empty on Saturday night, but it's still, you're driving into Croke Park. It's a league final. It's a national final. It's massive, you know.
And, like, I know we'd say over the years, like, 3 mightn't have been the strongest or 4 mightn't have been the strongest. But 4 teams, like, as we've been in Division 4, that consistency, if you get promoted out of 4, that consistency is so much harder to get when you're at that level. Like, you know, and fairness to Leitrim, after losing that Carlow game, I thought it would have been very easy to crumble because you're thinking, that's a chance gone now. You know, so it takes a lot of resilience to kind of get back at it again. And I think if you get out of the quagmire that's 4, I think you really deserve it, because it is tough. Like, it is really tough. And you know, we're talking about buy-in. Like, it's very, very easy to say to a Division 1 footballer, I need 3 years of your life here, 4 years of your life, because they're probably going to, they're going to give it to you anyway without even having to be said. But it is a different dynamic for let's say a Carlo or a Leitrim, whoever it might be. Like, I remember in 2013, we got Meade Bettis, I think it was 7, or 2014, 7-15 to 6 points or something like that. I mean, that nearly devastated a whole generation of our team. And in terms of Tarlac kind of following year, and kind of, we had a group then from 2015 until 2018 when it broke up. And it took that full length of time from that group of lads. Like, it wasn't successful straight away. It took time, but it's really hard to sell that. It really is, because it's the incentive at the end of it. It's not, it mightn't be in All-Ireland, it mightn't be provincial. It could be promotion out of 4, or maybe it's just being fucking competitive. Like, you know, and sometimes that's a hard sell.
Totally agree, lads. Well, lads, I'm going to finish on that. Just before we go, I'm going to go Dublin, Armagh, Down, and Leitrim. My heart's saying Leitrim rather than my head, but I don't want to see Leitrim win. Les, who are you going for?
I'd say Dublin. I'd say Armagh. I hate to follow you, but I'd say Down, and should we go Leitrim? We couldn't go Leitrim, could we?
Ryan, straightforward enough. Do you think
straightforward, same thing, boys, all 4.
Yeah.
We'll all get on together at least, anyway.
Lads, thanks a million, and we'll chat next week. Thanks, boys.
Cheers, lads. Thanks.
See you later.